The F Word at Work from Fertility Matters at Work is a conversation about fertility and how it affects people at work. You'll be hearing from our community about what they experienced whilst trying to build their families, as our aim is to help you better understand this issue by sharing these stories, along with our own insights from the work we are doing. Plus, we'll be talking to the organisations making these cultural changes the norm, as well as bringing you thought leaders from the workplace wellbeing space.
And what was great was that along the way, more and more people got in touch with me to say, I'm really enjoying this series, but also how can I get involved? And I never thought I would want to talk about this at work, but now I'm actually really keen to be part of this series and I feel like I've got a story to tell as well.
We're delighted that Apricity is sponsoring this series of The F Word at Work. Apricity is the world's first virtual fertility clinic. They use at-home testing and scans, which means just 2 in-person meetings per treatment, compared to around 10 with the traditional model. Apricity's fertility benefit gives end-to-end support and treatment from Apricity doctors and nurses and transparent pricing with no hidden costs. To find out about the unique Apricity fertility benefit and how they can support your employees with inclusive fertility care, please get in touch with the Apricity team by going to apricityfertility.com and clicking on the For Employers section. Now on with the show. So welcome to another episode of The F Word at Work. And if you've been listening to the podcast for a little while, you may know that part of the kind of content and stories that we want to share is examples of the organisations that we're working with who are doing amazing work to raise awareness of this conversation and become fertility-friendly employers. And that's what we're going to be doing today. And I'm delighted to welcome Gemma Young from Naveen to talk about the work that she's leading at Naveen. So without further ado, Gemma, welcome to The F Word at Work. It's lovely to have you here.
Thanks, Natalie. Happy to be here.
So just start by telling me a bit about you and your role and how you kind of made the decision to get in touch with us. And then we'll talk more about the work that, you know, we've been doing together.
Sure. Well, so I wear 2 hats. So from a kind of everyday work perspective, I lead marketing for our international business, for Naveen, and for our global institutional marketing channel. So that's my day-to-day job. But I'm also the chair of our business resource group for females and female allies. And that's a group that's called Achieve. There's around about 280 members from across our Europe and APAC offices that are members of that. And for that, there's kind of a committee of which I lead. And we're kind of tasked with trying to bring that group together across the organization, give them kind of opportunities to network, but also find kind of training programs or bring together conversations that that group may find beneficial to really try and harness a culture of inclusivity and female allyship across the business. And this program was something that came specifically from my position with that Achieve group, as opposed to on the marketing side. And I think I really had 2 motivations. So one, I had been through my own journey of infertility. So it was a cause that kind of really struck me. And I had felt that while I was going through it, it was fairly difficult to balance that work-life balance. It wasn't really something that was spoke about at work. I ended up not really telling anyone what I was going through and kind of using up kind of PTO and lying about why I was off work. So I found that to be a struggle as I went through that and had motivation to really make the topic less taboo at work to help other people in future and really bring that to life. But also was really trying to look for kind of topics and conversation starters within that group that would be of interest to that broader group. And so about 18 months ago, we had held a networking session and we had a suggestions box for all our members and we just asked them to pop in ideas of things they might like our Achieve group to cover in the future. And there were quite a few topics in there. So PCOS was one of them. Fertility was one of them in general. And so that got me thinking that maybe it was an area where I could kind of bring those 2 motivations together and really start to educate through that group.
And what's really interesting about the work that we've done with Naveen, and you described it as a program, is that that's what we supported you with. It was a program of events where we brought in a whole host of different speakers and we did a number of in-person events, which you made hybrid so that the reach could be as far as it could be, talking about topics from that feedback that you'd got. And what
I love about this is that it's a patient-led, motivated piece of activity, as well as obviously meeting the other kind of parts of your role. Just talk me through some of the topics that you've covered, because they were pretty broad. And I know over the time, because I was at some of them and Becky was at others and we had different speakers come in, it was almost like the conversation gathered momentum, didn't it? With the word spreading and more people through the course of the period of the program running, coming forward to say that they'd like to be a part of the conversation, didn't they?
Yeah, and it was great that more and more people wanted to be involved as it went on. But in terms of the program, we started with just kind of a macro, why fertility matters at work. And so that was really kind of a kickoff, an introduction to why we even wanted to cover this topic. And that started with a panel with people kind of actually touching different parts of a fertility story. But that really set the scene. And then over the course of the next kind of year, really, we delved into specific topics. So we covered kind of IVF in detail. We looked at egg freezing, what might be the motivations behind that and how would you go about that? We explored different paths to parenthood. We looked at building an LGBTQ family. And then we looked at some specific kind of female health issues related to fertility, but so PCOS and endometriosis. We also looked at kind of miscarriages at work and baby loss and what can be done to kind of help anyone going through that. So yeah, a really robust series that dipped into different things along the way. And what was great was that along the way, more and more people got in touch with me to say, I'm really enjoying this series, but also how can I get involved? And I never thought I would want to talk about this at work, but now I'm actually really keen to be part of this series. And I feel like I've got a story to tell as well.
And that's the amazing thing about it, that we're trying to highlight to organizations thinking about this and trying to understand the impact, is that once stories are shared and people hear stories that they can relate to being shared, it gives them that confidence, doesn't it, to come forward and say, well, hang on a minute, this is me as well. And because the sad reality of those of us that have been through this is that we do kind of want to pay it forward in the hope that others don't have to suffer in silence and the support then can evolve. And so from that impact point of view, do you feel that the organization as a whole has realized more why this piece of work is so important?
Yeah, I think it has. I mean, in terms of kind of the type of conversations going on in the background now, I think it's opened up more conversations around people willing to share their stories and what they've gone through and what was difficult and passing on advice. It's also spurred conversations. I've had lots of people come and ask my advice on kind of themselves. They're now thinking now about egg freezing. They hadn't really thought about it before, but they kind of want to get ahead of the game and start thinking about that. And so people really just kind of coming and asking advice. Nuveen also introduced last year for UK employees 2 weeks off per year fertility leave, which was new. So whether that was directly sparked by the series or maybe that would have come about anyway, I like to think that that had some motivation there in driving that through. And I think now fertility continues to be a topic. So our HR department are constantly looking at their policies and reviewing those and trying to benchmark those against the industry to make sure we really are at the forefront. So it is definitely prompted discussion from a general employee culture perspective, but also I think from a kind of HR policy perspective as well.
And from a time point of view, in terms of the momentum building and employee engagement and HR getting on board and feeling the shift within the organization, can you kind of quantify like how long you feel this has taken? Because it does take time. And what we're trying to highlight is that there's different ways around it. What you've done is this proactive activity, the awareness raising activity, rather than focusing on the policy first or what have you. You've had the conversations and then the kind of ripple effects of those are what's kind of spurred on this other work. But what kind of time do you think from when you started to when you've actually seen progress, would you say?
Yeah, and that's hard to answer. I think there was almost an immediate impact because it was so different and it was such a taboo topic that hadn't been tackled before that created a lot of momentum. I think that was then sustained. But I think what's interesting is that even now in our last, I think the last event in the series was probably about 4 months ago, but we have got all of those recordings available on the intranet. And actually what happens a lot, I think, in a busy workplace is that people don't necessarily tap into an event at the time, but they'll then kind of go back to it when they have the time to visit or because they now kind of have a need. And so I've still got people reaching out to me kind of this week saying, oh, I've actually only just caught up on these recordings or on this series, and it was great, and can I come and talk to you about this? So I think that's what I like, is that it seems to still be maintaining momentum.
Evergreen. Even
though we haven't done it for a while, and now the resources are there, the recordings are there, and people can go and explore it in their own time.
And that's the reality of the topic, is that someone from a people leader point of view might be thinking, well, nobody's come to talk to me about this. However, the reality is it is going on, because we know the numbers are high. And so it's making sure the signposting is there. Like you say, you've got those recordings on your intranet. And one of the other things that I really liked from the sessions that I'd attended was that there were male voices on the panel. I specifically remember one of the ones that I was on. I think it was a member of your HR team who was talking about his experience of pregnancy loss. And I think having those different represented groups in the conversation as well was really significant to just show how this is a people issue, isn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it was great. It was great to see men involved. I think generally the audience always comprised of women who were maybe thinking about going forward their own kind of fertility journey and wanting to almost get ahead of any challenges. Women that had been through it themselves, women that were there to support because they knew other women in the room who were perhaps talking. And then where men did get involved, it was generally because they had been through an experience kind of with their own partner. I do think one challenge we had is that we didn't necessarily tap into the men that were less familiar with kind of infertility because they hadn't experienced it themselves. And so what I wish we could have done, or perhaps can do in the future, is actually more of that kind of training for managers, which is slightly more mandatory rather than interest driven, because I do still think there's a gap of where we're not necessarily touching everyone that we want to touch with this type of training and awareness.
And that's kind of part of the process. It's actually having a step back once you've done a part of the work and go, right, okay, what next? Okay, that manager training piece is, I think, the next push. And then again, it's then signposting to those resources for those specific journeys that, you know, you've already covered in the sessions. Now, one of the things that I really want to talk about is your award and what you've done with the brilliant work that you've done. I think you should be so proud of this because, you know, alongside your day job, you've been very actively involved in this piece of activity. So just tell us a bit about the decision to kind of put it forward and then what happened.
Yeah. So as I mentioned at the start, our kind of business resource group for females is called Achieve. There are actually 5 different business resource groups for our business. So we have one focused on the LGBTQ community. We have one centered around race and diversity, one for working parents, and one for young professionals. And that comprises our kind of 5 BRG network. And so the awards at the end of the last year was an opportunity to celebrate all of those BRGs, but each BRG had an opportunity to put forward an award submission essentially for what they felt was their most impactful event or event series that they had run that year. And so from an Achieve perspective, we definitely felt that our kind of female health and fertility series had been our kind of star series and event from the year. So we put that forward, and then that was voted on by all of the different BRG members and the international business. They had to kind of submit a nomination for what they had perceived to be the best event. NARS won, which was great.
Amazing. Congratulations. It's such good news. And what do you think that's done for the topic within the organization moving forward?
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about that, but yeah, I don't know. Hopefully it kind of brings it to the forefront even more, and others who weren't necessarily aware of it before will now kind of think about watching back the recordings or getting a bit more involved. I don't know how we'll compete with it in the awards this year either, but but yeah, hopefully it just helps sustain some of that momentum that we built.
Exactly. It's just another touch point, isn't it? It's another reason why hopefully people do consider this a topic that needs their attention ultimately. And just finally, Gem, what would you say to anybody listening who's trying to get the business case forward for, you know, putting emphasis on this conversation and not maybe knowing where to start or who to engage?
Yeah. It's hard. I was lucky because we have those business resource groups and I had a position within that to lead it forward. So I would say if you're in an organization that has those similar kind of not necessarily department-led groups, but more kind of culture-affiliated groups, then that would be a good place to start. Otherwise, talking to your HR department, maybe kind of finding a leader within the business that you think would be sympathetic to the cause. But I think often people just need to be brought an idea because it's not necessarily somewhere there where their mind would naturally go. But often I think if you can raise a good idea and show how you would pull it together, then people are open to listen.
It's almost like be bold and do something rather than doing nothing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, Gemma, thank you so much. Thank you for all your brilliant work in kind of curating all of this. And I think it's been, from our point of view, a brilliant exercise to see the impact of these types of ongoing conversations, because we really have seen the momentum build. So it's just been, you know, a great one for us to see how these conversations can play out. So thank you for all that you've done and thank you for sharing.
Thank you so much.
Do follow us on our socials at Fertility Matters at Work on Insta and LinkedIn and at Fertility Matters Work on Twitter. Plus, we've got lots of free resources to download at fertilitymattersatwork.com.